Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads.
Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world.
A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes.
Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechheads.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Tech Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands, brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now, holding brain hands.
Welcome to episode 283 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 12th of April, 2014. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us on Facebook.com/TechWebcast. And our hosts for today are Brad, Steve, Jen, Sarah, and Jacob. And I guess guest today is going to be Sarah Slocum?
No.
It's supposed to be Peter McDermott, but
Peter McDermott is here. He's trying to log into Skype right now. Just send me a message on Google Plus right now. He's saying, I'm trying to log in, not sure. That's how far he's on Skype. Jennifer, welcome. How are you?
Hey there. I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good. What's up with you?
We hooked up. We hooked Jake up with a TiVo this week. You got a TiVo.
Oh,
and,
cool.
He'll be doing.
I love the TiVo.
Yeah, TiVo's great. TiVo's fantastic. Well, I'll be telling you about that. What happened during the week? It was quite frustrating and funny as well. Jacob, what's up, mate? Welcome back to the show. You haven't been on for a while. Have you been not on for a little bit?
Well, I've been out for a little bit, but I've been having a lot of fun with my new TiVo.
We'll get to that in a minute, because we're going to tell people about what happened with the phone calls we make. Okay, so Steve, what's up? How are you, mate?
Oh, pretty good. Fairly busy week for me, but managed to pull out a lot of news stories on my own show and also for the Tech Webcast. Yay!
Nice one. Who else we have on here? Jennifer? Sarah Soklem.
Sarah, but she has, I think, an issue with her Skype connection. She just dropped out, so.
Okay. Hopefully she'll come
hopefully
back.
Hopefully she'll rejoin us.
Yeah, same. I'm just waiting for Peter to add me on Skype. So Jacob, you got a TiVo this week just passed.
Yes, I did.
And tell people about it. I'm just gonna add Peter into the Skype call now.
Well, there was a lot of issues. Well, when we called Cox to fix it.
Yep.
One of the people was not very professional.
No, they weren't. And tell them about what happened when we made the booking, and they never turned up.
Oh, they screwed that one up big time.
They did indeed. They did indeed. Jennifer, has this happened to you? Have you had anyone come to your place that was supposed to come and they never turned up?
And they never turned. No, it hasn't happened to me. That would be really aggravating to schedule an appointment. I've had them where they'll tell me, okay, well, we'll be there sometime between 9 a.m. Yep. and 2 p.m. And they expect you just to sit around and wait,
exactly.
You know. And it's gotten a lot better now. It's not as bad. And it looks like that just happened to Peter McDermott, I believe. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Peter, welcome. Good to have you on, mate.
Yeah, that's the worst when that happened. That happened when I was moving here.
Okay. And they just didn't show up?
No, I mean, they showed up. So actually, when I was leaving Nashville, I hate it when you get the window. Like, somebody's going to be there between 8 and 12, and you, like, plan your whole day around it. You wake up at 5 o'clock, you have everything ready, you're ready to go. Yep. You're sitting there with your hands folded in your lap at 8 o'clock, 4 hours pass by, and you're like, where are you? And
that's
you call
terrible.
Them, and they're like, oh no, we're not going to be able to get there until after 2. You're like, you, oh, my whole day.
Yeah.
So that happened when I was leaving, and then when I got here, same thing happened on getting my stuff. But by, anyway,
well, apparently
I hate it. Well, I mean, like, they just expect us to sit around and just wait all, like, as if we don't have a life, you know. Yeah, exactly. And I know that we need their service, but they need to be more structured with the appointments.
Well, when we spoke to this girl on the phone, she said that it's all been booked and stuff, and then she said she waived the connection fee and this sort of thing, and then the next day, apparently Jacob said she never booked it in.
Huh.
Hmm. That's crazy.
It is very crazy, yeah. So, yeah. And welcome, Peter. Good to have you back on the show, mate.
Oh, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I'm sorry it took me a minute to get here. Actually, very similar situation. I was standing at Sam's Club waiting for the manager to come over and authorize the upgrade on my line. And that took over 20 minutes. And when the manager came over there, he said, yeah, $20 gift card. Go pick it up. I've got to go. And he walked off. And the poor sales associate was standing there completely embarrassed. And my fiance and I are there like, did that really just happen? Did he really just throw $20 at us and walk off? I mean, I can't believe it.
Wait a minute. So I know you, I had read on Google Plus, you upgraded to a GS5 today and you went to Sam's Club to get it, which is great because they have outstanding prices on devices. Their prices are just about unbeatable. And so that's great that you did that. But what happened now? You had an issue with the upgrade or and they gave you $20 to appease you or?
No. So the associate had to have the manager approve the upgrade because I was doing like a line transfer upgrade where I was using an upgrade from a different voice only line. And she kept calling on the radio and saying, need a manager's assistance. The manager has to log into the system to allow her to complete the transaction. So she kept calling on the radio. And, you know, we can hear every associate in the store and what's going on in the radio. And it took over 20 minutes for one of the managers to get there. Wow. And by the time he got in, like, we're standing there looking at this associate. She's embarrassed. Her face is red because she keeps getting on the radio and calling for help. And they tell her it'll be a few minutes. We don't have anybody. And, I mean, they're on two-way radios. No earpiece. Everybody in the store can hear what's going on. It was very embarrassing. It was embarrassing for us. It was embarrassing for the clerk. So when the manager came over, we asked to speak with him, and he didn't even have any time to talk with us. He just immediately said, I'll give you a $20 gift card. Just go pick it up at customer service, and walked off before we could even say anything.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, we've been waiting for over 20 minutes for you to come over in and enter your password, and you think just throwing us $20 is acceptable. That's ridiculous. But anyway, you got the phone.
That's funny. Interesting.
That's why I'm late.
That's crazy. So, Jennifer, for the people in Australia and around the world, what is Sam's Club? Explain what that is.
Sam's Club is a big warehouse type of store where you buy things in bulk, but they also have great deals on some electronics and cell phones, and you can get groceries there and, you know, oh gosh, pretty much anything under the sun. It's a huge, it's kind of like Amazon, not quite as awesome as Amazon, but, you know, where you would buy just bulk things and, I don't know, like toilet paper in bulk and... patio
paper.
Furniture and tents and it's a great, so you walk in there and you have this giant shopping cart and you have to have a membership before you actually go in there.
Yep. Okay. Sounds fun.
Like Costco.
Costco, yeah.
Like Costco. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's Costco here. There's also BJ's. I think that's about it. What do they have in Australia that's similar?
Costco's.
Costco.
Costco.
Oh, there's a Costco in Australia.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Oh, I
yeah,
love Costco.
You know, typically I prefer Costco, but they actually don't have their own wireless segment. Now, Sam's Club is part of Walmart, though, so it's important to disclose that. And I guess that's where they get the good distribution on the phones. But.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about you, Steve? Have you been to these sort of places before, mate?
I mean, I haven't been. I think I've been to Sam's Club a couple of times, but I mean, I don't have a membership or anything, but we have one down in Corpus.
Cool, cool. All right. Okay. All right, let's get into some news then, Jennifer, and then we'll come back to Peter and have a chat with him.
All right. Well, the first story is coming from MacRumors.com, and it is about high-def music. iTunes is going to be having high-def music, or they say it may be on the horizon, rather. Earlier this week, a report suggested that Apple was planning a dramatic overhaul of its iTunes music store to combat declining music downloads, which could include an on-demand streaming service and an Android version of iTunes. Apple may also be planning to add high-resolution audio downloads to iTunes as part of the revamp, allowing users to download lossless 24-bit audio files. And that's, you know, basically we'll keep our eyes out for to see what Apple is going to bring to their iTunes store. And moving on. Oh, Brad, do you want me to stop at the end of each story, or would you like me to go through story to story?
Let's go through them in one go, and then we'll talk about them at the end.
Alrighty. Okay, well, then the second story coming from MacRumors again. Apple is talking about having its iPad Air and the Retina iPad Mini to get Touch ID this year. It says that they are – actually, it says they may be preparing to feature its Touch ID fingerprint sensor on updated models of the Air, iPad Air, and Retina iPad Mini. They'll be released later this year. And regarding the next generation iPad, they say the tablet will launch at an earlier point than the original iPad did in November of last year. They also note that Apple is likely to cut the price of the existing Retina iPad Mini and that the newer model will feature the same form factor with an upgraded processor and a Touch ID fingerprint sensor. And moving on to the next story coming from TheVerge.com. Facebook will turn off messaging in its mobile app, forcing you to download Messenger. Facebook's plans to become an empire of mobile apps just got a little bit more interesting as the company began notifying users in European countries that in 2 weeks, they will not be able to message friends through the Facebook app anymore. They'll need to download the Messenger app for iOS or Android to do so. And so we will keep our eye out for that. And moving on to the next story, Engadget.com talks about Arrow bringing live TV to Chromecast on May 29th. So about the only thing right now the $35 Chromecast dongle can do is let you watch your Netflix and your, oh gosh, anything that you stream from your device. And it does not let you do live television. But that will not be the case for much longer. Starting on May 29th, streaming television startup Arrow will release an updated version of its Android app that includes support for streaming live broadcast television shows to your Chromecast. So keep an eye out for Arrow. And that's spelled A-E-R-E-O. And moving on to the next story, coming from Engadget, Google is opening up Glass to everyone for one day only. Until now, Google Glass has been the exclusive club, where either you bought one at the I.O. conference in 2013, or you signed up for the If I Had Glass program, or you have a friend who referred you to the program. Now, though, for one day only, Google is letting anyone buy. The company announced that on April 15th, anyone with $1,500 and a U.S. shipping address can purchase the headset. So this starts at 6 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern, and they have a number of spots that are limited. So definitely, if you're interested in getting Glass, get up early and try to get it at ASAP. And moving on to the next story coming from Engadget.com, Google Play Music can now stream direct to Sonos on Android. So if you have a Sonos, basically Google Play Music will allow you to stream directly to your Sonos through the Android app. So not too much more to add on that story. And moving on to the next one. This is about the Heartbleed virus coming from smh.com.au. The man who introduced the serious Heartbleed security flaw denies that he inserted it deliberately. The German software developer introduced the security flaw into an encryption protocol used by millions of websites globally, and he says that he didn't insert it deliberately, as others may have suggested. It appears that when this bug was uncovered, He said how the bug it made its way into live mode could be explained pretty easily. The encryption flaw called Heartbleed has exposed large batches of the internet to malicious exploitation, prompting some security experts to warn internet users from even using the internet for the next few days. So he says that this was definitely a mistake. He was working on improving the OpenSSL and submitted numerous bug fixes and added new features. And in one of the new features, he missed validating a variable containing a length. And after he submitted the code, a reviewer apparently didn't notice the missing validation. So the error made its way from the development branch into the released version. And this was definitely just an error on his part. And the last story, talking a little bit more about Heartbleed, coming from thehackernews.com. They have a great piece on how this exploitation actually exposes your passwords to hackers. And basically, you know, you don't know whether or not you're safe from this exploitation, so you want to definitely look it up online where there is a link that shows, oh gosh, I can't find it at the moment here, a link that shows whether or not the sites are vulnerable, basically, and we'll put those in the show notes. And I'm sorry, Brad, I lost my place here in
the
story.
You're right.
I'm trying to find exactly how, okay, here we go, how Heartbleed works. It is not a problem with TLS or SSL technologies that encrypt the internet, nor with how OpenSSL works. It's actually a coding mistake. And using Heartbeat's extension, two computers make sure the other one is still alive by sending data back and forth to each other. The client sends its Heartbeat to the server, which is the website, and the server hands it right back. If by chance any one of them goes down during this transaction, the other one will know by using the Heartbeat sync mechanism. And when the Heartbeat is sent, a small amount of the server's short-term memory of about 64 kilobytes comes in reply from the server, and an attack is supposed to grab it. Attacker is supposed to grab it and then leak that sensitive data, such as message contents, credentials, session keys, and server private keys. And by sending Heartbleed multiple requests, an attacker is able to fetch more memory contents from the server, which means that everything and anything in memory, such as SSL, private keys, user keys, for your usernames and passwords, instant messages, emails, and business critical documents and communication, and many more items are vulnerable to cyber criminals.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Crazy.
Yep, and that is the last story, and I have to apologize for being all over the place.
That's okay, Jennifer. That is okay.
I'm just a little bit tired.
You are
and it's
tired.
Like it's coming through. I think, do I have slurred speech? Do I sound drunk or anything?
No,
I don't
you
know.
Sound fine. You sound good. You sound normal. Okay. You don't sound tired.
All right, good. I feel like I sound a little bit slurry or
no,
something.
No, you're right. You're right. Okay. Steve, what good about stuff. You? What's your view on them stories, mate?
Oh, geez. Let me see what I think I did have a few here. As far as what was that? Oh, the HD audio by iTunes. I know there's some people that, well, it's kind of like between the audiophiles and the everybody else. They're saying that most people can't really tell the difference between high definition audio and CD quality tracks. Of course, this is probably going to go back and forth, but some people have been waiting for it for a while. And to me, I think it all depends on what you play it on. If you have you're playing it through a high quality stereo system, vice mm-hmm. earbuds, and maybe a laptop, you're going to notice a big difference. And with the Touch ID, of course, on the iPads, I think it doesn't really. A lot of times we see that sometimes it goes usually to the iPhone first. And
yeah,
then
the iPad. Yeah.
Send a lot of technology to the iPad. Not always, but
I don't think I'll be buying another iPad. I don't think, because I don't really use mine that much anymore. And I think, I don't know. That's what happens. But
oh, you don't?
Well, not really. Do you use your iPad much?
Quite often. Well, usually I like when I get out of the house, I'll go to Starbucks, and I always take it to Starbucks and read the news and you know.
Okay, maybe you upgrade soon. Then maybe Steve, if another one comes out.
I've kind of recently upgraded, but it's mainly I went from iPad 2 to an iPad Mini. I went from 16 to 32 gigs just to get more space, and that was the only reason.
Mm. Yeah, the iPad Air is really nice device.
They are nice.
Yeah, they are very nice.
Yeah.
What about you, Jacob? Do you have any views on them stories, mate?
Well, I have one at Heartbeat.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, LastPass also they had a link a while back about the see if your passwords and your vault was hacked.
Wow.
Oh, I think I seen it. Noticed that too somewhere. You can put your what is it? You put some information in there or something.
Yeah, I saw LastPass wrote a piece on that today. Mm-hmm. And they sent it out as their email newsletter, I believe.
Yeah, I actually got the email from LastPass.
Okay, good stuff. What about you, Jennifer? Do you have any views on them stories?
Well, yeah, I am excited for Google opening up Glass to everyone for one day on Tuesday, and I hope that people that have been wanting it will be able to get it. I also am wondering, okay, so they're doing this. They definitely want to get it into the hands of more people. But when is this official release going to happen? And would it even be worth somebody to purchase it today or next week at $1,500 or $1,600 with tax if a new version will be coming out at a cheaper price in just a few months? Mm. You know, so that's... Now, for my recommendation, I do love my Glass, and I highly recommend it. But we'll see if people actually. I'm sure they'll sell out on Tuesday. I would think so.
Do you use your Glass a lot, Jennifer?
I don't use it as often as I thought I would.
Yep.
I thought before I got it, I thought, okay, well, if I got Glass, I would never take it off. I'd wear it all the time. And that doesn't happen. You know, I'm not wearing it right now. So
was it worth the $1,500 or?
It depends. Well, yeah, I think it depends. And if you're a developer, then yeah.
Okay.
I think if you are a developer and you're really using it to, but if you're just a geek that wants to, be an early adapter, then I don't know.
Mm. Oh, well,
I mean,
good luck.
For me it is.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. All right, Peter, what about you, mate? Have you got any views on them stories at all?
Well, you know, it's interesting talking about the Google Glass and how often you wear it. Because I really just don't wear it that much anymore.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting.
That
after a while, I mean, you know, a lot of it is just the fact that there's really just not that much software that's available from, Glassware yet. There's a lot of stuff you can sideload, but I'm just not comfortable sideloading anything onto a prototype device at this point because God only knows what could happen. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Could get hacked.
How often? Do
well,
you
I mean, I'm excited for XE15 to see what that brings.
Hmm.
Or 14 or whatever we're on. What did we skip 13 and we're waiting for 14? Is that right?
I think we're on. Aren't we on 13
on 12?
Right now?
We on 13?
I thought we were on 13 right now.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
I think we're on 13. We're waiting for 15. They skipped 4. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, it's going to be interesting once they release the newest version of the operating system because it's going to be an upgrade from where we are now actually to KitKat. Are they going straight to KitKat, I think?
I think so. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. It's on what? Ice cream sandwich right now?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm not. It's back. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure what. I know it's on version 13 something, but I'm not sure what Android OS that would equate to.
May I add something?
Go ahead, Jacob.
Are they doing the same way they're doing the phones, like with the version names and code names?
See, I didn't know that. Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to Google it and see.
Are you talking about the latest version?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, Android, I thought it was like KitKat in it or
That's
something.
That's what
like
I thought
that.
Too, yeah.
Oh, we're talking about for Google Glass. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I do love the Android names, though, with the different food and type. That's quite funny.
Are they using that the same as Google Glass?
Don't know, mate. Peter, do you know it all, though?
What's that?
About the Android names or the versions of the software.
Oh, that would be like a great quiz show, but no, I don't.
Okay.
I mean, let's see where we can go. We're at Kit Kat now. We go back to Jelly Bean. And what was before Jelly Bean?
Ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, I think it's ice cream.
Ice cream sandwich. So and
I could do it. I could do it starting from the beginning that. Easier for you. We had gingerbread. So I mean, let me start from the beginning. So cupcake.
Gingerbread.
It was cupcake. What was D?
That was Froyo, right?
No, we had cupcake first, and then we had something that started with D. What the heck was it? And then after that, was it donut? No.
Wow. I don't know. All the Android fans are just.
Geez, I can't believe that some of these names that Android come out with
right now.
Crazy.
Eclair. There was Eclair. F, Froyo.
G was gingerbread.
G, gingerbread. There was honeycomb. Ice cream sandwich. Jelly bean.
I didn't realize they were in alphabetical order.
Huh. Yeah, they are. But I'm trying to think of what D was. What the heck was D? Was it donut?
Donut sounds good.
Yeah, it was donut, wasn't it? It was donut because they have a picture of a donut in there.
All these names are making me hungry. So anyway, let's move on.
They're making us all hungry.
It is indeed. I love them Android names, but I wouldn't buy an Android phone.
I'm wondering what the next one's going to be after K.
Don't know. Maybe Jacob Jones.
Hey!
I'm joking.
That was jelly bean.
It was donut. Okay, yeah, it was donut. I had to look
what
it up.
What sort of donut was it?
It was a sprinkled donut.
Oh, really?
In their yard at the Google campus, it looks like. So it was cupcake, donut, eclair, Froyo. Gingerbread, honeycomb, ice cream sandwich, jelly bean, Kit Kat.
Sounds good. Peter McDermott, welcome to the show, mate. Good to have you back on.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, guys.
What have you been up to for the past? We haven't spoken to you in a long time. And last time we spoke to you, you were doing Micro Patrol.
Yeah, man. Wow. Things have certainly changed and developed since then. You know, that was an interesting hobby. And, you know, I learned a lot from doing that. You know, now I've moved on to a bunch of different projects, and I've actually moved from Nashville, Tennessee, most recently to the Dallas-Fort Worth area here in the great state of Texas.
Nice one.
Yeah.
And what are you been working on at the moment?
Currently, I've redesigned my blog, and I'm doing a lot of writing about my use of wearable and personal technology. Oh, nice. Last week, I just had the opportunity to meet Google's senior vice president of social, and the big boss of Google Plus, Vic Gundotra, was right here in Dallas. I got to meet him at the Magnolia Hotel downtown. Had a piece that was just featured in Mashable a couple of weeks ago, and everything's just been going really, really well. I'm working right now with Talent Culture as one of their community managers and helping them.
That's a good question.
You know, with their content strategy and interviewing all the people for their YouTube previews, as well as an exciting announcement I'm soon going to be making about the Big Android Barbecue.
Oh, wow. Cool. Where's that going to be held up?
The Big Android Barbecue is held here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area every year. This year it's going to be on October 18th.
Okay.
And more details to come. October 18th. I don't know if I'm even supposed to tell you the date, but it'll be in October here in Dallas.
Nice one.
And I got a question.
Well, hang on for a second. I got another question for Peter. What was it like meeting Vic from Google, Peter?
You know, it's funny you ask that. Vic is probably, you'd think, here's the guy going head-to-head with Mark Zuckerberg. He's probably got a lot on his mind, right? He's probably a little stressed out. You know, there's, you know, still some naysayers about the network. There is not a more calmer, collected, and well-put-together person that I've ever met in my life than Vic Gundotra. And just meeting him and seeing him in person, I've never seen anyone that calm, cool, and collected for somebody in a position of his caliber to come into a situation where he had no idea who was going to be there and to say, hey, I'm going to be at the bar at the hotel. If you want to ask about the number two social network in the world, stop by and we'll chat. I mean, how
That's
cool is
so
that?
Cool. Very cool. That yeah. is
how
really cool.
How cool is that?
Yeah, very
and
cool.
He just nice he was all by be... himself. There was nobody Jeez. Else there.
Wow.
No handler, nobody else from Google.
Oh, wow.
It was just Vic Gundotra and a bunch of Dallas's, you know, biggest technology enthusiasts and evangelists just sitting there shooting the shit with a SVP from Google. I mean, it was crazy.
Good on him. And did he mention any new things coming to Google Plus at all, or did he mention about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I talked about some of that in my blog post, which really wasn't so much about specifically the meeting with Vic, but more in how we use Google products, you know, every day in our life and in ways that we take advantage, you know, ways that we take for granted. Mm. But, you know, some of the things that we can expect coming are going to be analytics. You know, he alluded to the fact that we're going to start seeing analytics, not just for pages, but also for profiles. So now that we have this setting where you're not just seeing your followers, but you're also seeing how many views you have, I imagine soon there's going to be a bigger breakdown of that. Also, some of the things we talked about were kind of reinventing the way you share with people. Right now on Google Plus, you can only share either to circles or to a community. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have a problem when they go to figure out, well, where do I want to share this piece of content? Do I want to share this just to a specific circle? Do I want to share it publicly? Or should I share it to this community that's focused on that group? Well, recently we saw that pages now have the ability to share with targeted demographics, excuse me. But I think we're going to see some more intuitive sharing features, especially for the end user. And a lot of those are going to be geared around your local geographic area. So soon, I envision there's going to be a possibility of sharing a post locally, which means that post is only going to be visible to people that were in a certain radius of where you posted at the time that you posted it. So, you know, if you wanted to say, hey, I'm downtown, if you want to come by and have a drink, the only people that would be able to see that would be people within a mile or two of your radius. So I expect things like that to be coming soon. But we talked about so many different things.
Nice one, Peter. Okay, Jacob, any questions for Peter?
Well, you took mine.
Well, I didn't know what it was, mate, so just ask him if you're going to ask him.
So, now, what was the feeling when they first got your glass?
Oh, when I got glass? So I got glass in November of last year. And I actually went, I waited until after you had to go to one of the glass stores to pick it up, because I just couldn't afford, you know, in addition to the expense of glass to go and pick it up somewhere. So it was shipped overnight UPS. I was actually out of town when I ordered it. And when I got back into town, I went to UPS to pick it up, took it home. And, you know, I kind of took some pictures while I was doing the unboxing. And when I put it on, it wasn't the first time that I tried it on, but it was the first time that I had my own pair. It was just a sense of awe. You know, it was the first time where I could really, like, ask the questions to Google using the device that you're not really able to do in public settings when you're doing a demo of glass. Because when you do a demo of glass, you're like, oh, wow, this is cool. What can I do with it? And they'll show you a couple things, and they're kind of telling you what to do. But when you have your own pair and you get to sit there for 4 hours and just, you know, explore the limits of the technology, it's just really, really amazing. And anytime you're on the leading edge of technology, like right now, I feel bad. I have this Galaxy S5 I just picked up. I'm one of the first people, one of the first consumers to own one. And I feel like I've neglected it because I haven't played with it yet. But, you know, as a technology enthusiast, there's just always a euphoria, you know, that kind of washes over you when you get to play with a new device. So it was a cool time. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Jennifer, any questions?
Yeah, you said that you had some work published on Mashable, and I'm wondering, how do you even go about getting on Mashable? Do they just kind of see your stuff and they pick it up, or are you how does that even work?
Yeah, basically, actually, it was just one piece, and it just so happened that I had written a piece that it kind of falls under their link bait type category. But the piece was why the Moto 360 will kill Google Glass.
Yeah,
and it was more. Mm-hmm. The article was more aimed towards consumer markets. If these things were to both hit the shelves at the same time, you know, which would reign over the other? And I said hands down the 360. But so I posted that article on my personal blog, which has been getting quite a bit of traffic lately. And one of the chief technology analysts for Mashable sent me a private message and said, hey, we really like this. You know, we don't do this often, but would you give us permission to syndicate your post? So they did. It was a win-win. They got some great content, cool, and I got a little bit of exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine you got a lot of exposure from that.
You know, not as much as you would think. When you publish for mega blogs like that, the author gets lost in the publisher. So, you know, if the publication is big enough, people don't care so much about the author until, it's a clear and consistent thing, or if you're, you know, doing a regular editorial or something like that. So, you know, it was great. I got exposure, and I can say I was, syndicated on Mashable. But I didn't get any emails or people trying to solicit me or say, hey, you know, will you write this for us or that for us? It was just kind of, hey, attaboy, good job.
Nice one.
Well, I have to say, I agree with you, though, that the Moto 360, if they were both released at the same time, which the Moto 360 will be, what, in June, I believe? And that, yeah, it will definitely. I mean, if you're a consumer and you're out to purchase a wearable, you're going to go with the more affordable one and the one that isn't as obtrusive on your face, right? Something that looks normal on your wrist and it has a lot of great functionality, you know, except for the camera function is cool with glass, but, you know, at $1,500, yeah. So good piece, definitely.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And your blog looks fantastic too. Are you using WordPress for that or?
Yeah, I'm actually using WordPress. I'm not a hawker. Mm-hmm. You know, I do consulting, private consulting for companies that reach out to me, but I don't do anymore. I used to do affiliate selling, things like that. I don't do that anymore. But I will tell you, I am using a child theme.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's on the Genesis framework, which I'm going to tell you, the combination of Genesis and Yoast. And Jetpack is pretty cool once you get them all working together. Okay. But let me see if I can tell you what the child theme is. I mean, anybody can have the website I have. I don't want you to think like, oh, my God, that's great. You know, you're such a beautiful design. I paid money for it, and I'll tell you what I bought. It's called Ambience Pro. And I really haven't customized it too much, but I focus more on the HTML5 stuff. But yeah, if you go to studiopress.com, and I would encourage you find, you know, Chris Brogan or Justin W. Stout. I don't know if you follow him. He actually has an affiliate link on his website where he'll get some money if you purchase your theme through him, which is what I did with mine. So, you know, if you have an opportunity, check out Dustin W. Stout's website. I think it's
dustn.tv.
And he's got a link somewhere on there if you're going to buy Studio Press.
Nice one.
Framework.
nice theme there. I really
It's responsive too. If you check it out on any device, it looks the same, and that's what I really loved about it. There's not a lot like on the back end. I'm not a programmer. I'm not a developer. I'm not a designer. Like I just need to find a high resolution image and focus on my content, and I think that's what this child theme does really well. But
yeah, anyway. It does.
So, Peter, is Micro Patrol be coming back anytime soon, or are you doing any podcasting at the moment, or is that all stopped?
You know, I think it's kind of defunct right now. You know, at this stage, I'm just starting a new career with my employer, and that's going to be taking up, a really good bit of my time. And as much as I love doing podcasting, I think it's going to be more of a on and off guest thing and some more of the shorter YouTube videos. But, you know, I learned a lot in doing that. And I learned a lot from you and Steve and you know, definitely I'm grateful for the time that I spent doing that, and Jacob as well.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Yeah, no, it was a great site, Micro Patrol. Is it still around, or is it closed down, or is it still the URL still there?
I still have the URL. I'm pulling it up right now. I think I'm actually, if you go to the website, I'm just kind of using it to test out. It's kind of like my sandbox for WordPress at this moment. So it's still there. It's just it doesn't serve the same purpose it served before.
Okay, and
the name's for sale if you'd like to buy the name.
How much?
Well, you know, we can talk offline.
Okay. What about the new phone? Tell us about the new phone you got today.
You know, I haven't even played with it. So I got the Galaxy S5. I wanted to get it the day it came out. And the sad thing is, one of the things that I was sold on getting this phone is the fact that it's the first phone to have two antennas. It is capable of communicating on the LTE and Wi-Fi spectrum at the same time. So it comes preloaded with the capability of being able to supercharge downloads by using not only your LTE connection, but also a Wi-Fi connection. So say, you know, your Wi-Fi connection is limited to like 10 megabits per second, but you have like a 20 megabit per second LTE connection, you could hypothetically download it 30 megabits per second, which is insane.
That's awesome.
And I was sold on having the ability to do that. Then today, the three legacy carriers came out and announced, oh, we're disabling Turbo Boost downloads. Sorry.
That sucks.
So Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint all put the kibosh on it, but they didn't release that information until today. So I was a little disappointed with that, but it does have the heart rate monitor.
So is that why you got the phone, Peter?
Two megapixel front camera, same one from the S4, but the rear camera is a stunning 16 megapixels, And the autofocus works in 0.3 seconds, which is huge, because autofocus can ruin a shot if it doesn't happen quickly enough. So, I mean, I just taking the few pictures that I have, I mean, I'm absolutely amazed.
Is that why you got the phone? Because you had the turbo download, or you got it for other reasons?
No, that was one of the reasons I was excited about getting it.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm noticing this does this really cool thing with low lighting. If you ever take a photograph in low lighting, it'll tell you to hold the camera still for a few minutes.
Okay.
Because what it looks like it's doing is it's taking several different images and it's compositing them on top of each other to reduce the blur. I'm not really sure how it works, but
I just want to say something to Jake. Jake, can you imagine if Craig Shipp was here right now?
Yeah. Android sucks.
I know what he'd be saying about that phone. He'd be calling it junk, which is not junk. I'm sure that phone's made pretty well, is it, Peter?
Yeah, the Samsung. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hang on, I have to apparently download new Sprint default. I don't even know what this is.
Okay.
It's installing.
What are you
junk
downloading? What is it?
It's forcing some new Sprint program on my phone. That's the other thing.
It's doing the Sprint zone. I work for. Oh, never mind. I shouldn't be. I'm not talking about it on the podcast. But yeah, that's doing the Sprint zone. I just got an M8, the HTC M8 today, and the first thing it does, it always installs the Sprint zone software. So you're gonna have to uninstall some apps when you it'll put eBay on there. And things like that.
Yeah, sucks.
So you have to leave.
Well, I'm excited to put Cyanogen on here when it's available. Unless you guys know, I haven't seen anything for the S5 if it's available yet. But you know, I'm really hoping there's going to be a Google Play Store, version of this as well. Because I love the pure Android experience. But I have to tell you, TouchWiz is way better than it used to be. And I'll tell you, when I first got the phone, you know, I'm looking at the screenshots of it and I'm like, oh my God, it looks like my Galaxy S3 from 2 years ago. But playing with it, it's got a totally flat design. It's more intuitive. The features are more rich. And you can dog manufacturer OEM UIs all you want. I'm going to tell you, TouchWiz is pretty good. I'm not going to say it's better than pure Android because it's, you know, UI sitting on top of Android, but I'm really impressed and I haven't even had time to play with it yet. So
that's right. Good that you're impressed with
Stay
it.
Yeah, questions.
I love that. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I got a quick question for you. Now I know you talked with, one of the, Google Plus, who worked on the program. Of course, Brad's the one that gave me the initial invite when it was kind of private. And then after, I don't know, about maybe 8 months' time, I was hearing before that the adoption rate wasn't as great as we thought it might be. I know a lot of the technologists were and geeks were using mostly, and then photographers got in it too as well. But I think you also mentioned you said it was like the number two social networking site. Has the haven't really researched this, but has the user base gone up a lot since then? I haven't really been paying attention recently, but
you know, let me take a look. I hate to speak to statistics unless I'm looking at them at the moment. But you know, I know there were some surprising numbers. I mean, even looking at, let's take a look in November.
Well, I mean, even looking at Facebook, I mean, Facebook's got over 1 billion, but then again, a lot of people don't really necessarily use it a lot, and that part has gone down. In fact, they linked it up with, a lot of times they'll use another program that automatically goes to Facebook, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're, you know, on Facebook itself, but you know, I'm not necessarily talking about Google Plus along those lines, but
all right. So let's go to Jenna for a minute.
Yeah, it's. I'm sorry. YouTube is technically the second largest social network, but because YouTube is integrated with Google Plus now, that automatically puts it right behind Facebook. Yeah,
that's a good point though.
Mm. So, Jennifer, have you been using Chromecast much? Are you going to use when these features, these new apps come out?
Have I been using my Chromecast? I was using it a lot when I was on a trip recently. And, you know, I'll tell you the nice thing about the Chromecast is we have, or my family has, a little vacation spot and that we rent out. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about it is we put a Chromecast in there. So the nice thing is that anyone who goes there can use the Chromecast and access and watch what they want to watch using their own Netflix account, their own YouTube account, and view their own content. Versus if we had put something like a Roku or an Apple TV in there, it'd be tied to our accounts, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the really beauty of the Chromecast, the beautiful thing about it. And so when we were at the place, I was definitely using it, and I'll sling things on there and I'll download a movie, and maybe I don't feel like putting it on the TiVo, and I'll just open it in the Chrome browser and watch it on the Chromecast. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
What's your view on the Amazon Fire Box, the new that's coming out?
You know, I am an Amazon fan. I'm not going to buy the Fire Box. I don't really need one, but I think it's great that they've come out with that and they're getting into the space. Mm. I'm happy that they're doing that. It doesn't have Spotify, which kind of
sucks.
That does suck. Yeah.
And I've also seen
Spotify.
I've also seen Spotify on the TiVo the other day. Jake showed me. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like the way it looks.
It's not that great on the TiVo.
And I also don't like the Spotify on the Mac either. It's too black. Have they turned...
I like the one on the Mac, all right.
It's really black. Did you get the update, Jennifer?
I did. Yeah, I did. I thought it was pretty clean.
Yeah, it is clean, but it's too black for me. I don't
too
know.
Too dark?
Why. Yeah, too dark, I think.
Yeah.
The old one before it was better?
I think so, yeah. The one before it was better, I think. But I think this one is a bit too dark, personally. But
Messes with your eyes just a little bit.
Yeah, it does. Steve, what about you? What about you? What's your view on all this conversation?
Are you talking about like the Firebox is kind of interesting? Because they're coming out with a game controller. Of course, I haven't really researched it enough, perhaps, because I know even some of the founders of Steam were saying that with the Apple TV, they could actually be one of the biggest gaming consoles, because I know on mobile games, obviously they're one of the most popular or larger than even I think it was Microsoft gaming platform. So it's going to be interesting if maybe the next Apple TV, when they come out, maybe they're going to do that as well.
Yeah,
so
I hope so. I can't wait to see the next Apple TV if it comes out this year. Jacob, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Of course, I'm here.
Okay, tell us about your TiVo and what do you like? What do you think so far of it and that sort of stuff?
What I think about it, I love it to bits.
Now, tell Steve. Now, Steve may be interested. How much did you pay for it, and what do you pay a month for it?
Well, I paid $779.99.
Yep.
For a TiVo Premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's $13.99 a month.
With no contract?
None.
Okay. So
that's interesting, because I had a 2-year contract with mine and paid. I have the Romeo, but I had to get a 2-year contract with mine.
Wow.
Well, okay. With mine, there wasn't one.
Yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting.
So
if you select the monthly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, monthly. Monthly.
Just if you have the money in your account, keep it. Yeah. Steve, you were looking into getting a TV, weren't you, one day, weren't you, a while back?
Well, I think me and you were talking about it, but right now, I mean, a lot of the stuff I can get online.
True.
There's a few different websites, and also even with Time Warner Cable, which is my cable provider now, they have it's part of the service, the cable, where I can get shows that I'm not every show. But they're, I think they keep like the maybe 7 or 8 episodes, recent episodes, so I can go on there, see it in high definition,
nice
a lot of the shows that I miss. So, which is good enough for me, because there's only certain shows I like, but I could see where it'd be kind of nice to have a TV too. But usually I can work around it. It's not a big deal to me.
Do you record a lot of shows, Steve, at all? What sort of DVR did they supply you?
I don't record. I've got the Mac Mini hooked up to the television. Now, I haven't watched any through there yet.
Okay.
I use, what is it, XBMC?
Yep.
For like a multimedia thing, and it goes to the internet, grabs Project Free TV. I can get all the television episodes, nearly any show. Of course, sometimes the links aren't very good, so I have to usually search for another one. But that, and with the Time Warner Cable, they save the episodes on a few, quite a few of my shows. So. Which is enough for me, I think.
Yeah, Foxtel actually put in a new feature, which I quite like, the look back feature. You can look back 24 hours and download the show. If you missed it, you can just download it, which is pretty good in the TV guide, which is quite comes in handy. Game of Thrones, have you seen that yet, Jennifer? What's your view on that?
Oh, yes. I ended up viewing the episode. Let's see, it came out on Sunday night, right? So I downloaded it. Okay. And watched it, I think, the next night, actually. And loved it. I really loved the end, the last few scenes at the end with Arya and I don't remember what's the guy's name.
Is that blonde girl?
The big brutal guy. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But then I started listening to the books on Audible the other day.
Okay.
And I'm listening to book one right now on Audible, which is outstanding. It's just, it's really nice to kind of listen and remember back to the episodes and then hear his depiction with the voice that I should know the author's name, but or not the author's name, I'm sorry, the reader's name. And I can't remember his name, but he does such a great job on Audible with Game of Thrones. Did you watch it?
I'd seen a bit of it, but I got bored of it.
Oh, who else watched it on the show?
Jacob, did you watch it?
No.
Okay, what about you, Steve? Did you watch it?
I've never seen Game of Thrones. Well, of course, I'm watching more than a dozen TV shows at any one time.
What TV shows are you watching at the moment, Steve? Name a couple.
Jeez. I forgot the name of it. It's, I don't have to look it up. Like I said, I've got so many. I'm waiting for a Sleepy Hollow new season to come out.
Nice.
It should be coming out in June, I think. I've been waiting since last, the season ended, I think, around December time. Is that one Under the Dome, which is based on a Stephen King novel. Yep. I've been getting into that too.
Cool. Also, Sons of Anarchy may be coming back this year too, Jennifer, I hope.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, it's going to come back. Definitely.
I love Sons of Anarchy.
This is the last season, I think.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Peter, do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, I do not.
You did not either?
No, I don't have HBO.
Do you have cable TV, Peter, at all?
I don't either, but I just download it.
Oh, you download it, Jen. You're not supposed to do that.
Hey, I have a good joke.
So, Peter, do you have cable TV at home, or what do you watch?
Hey.
What do you watch?
You know, I just have the cable that comes with my internet access.
Okay.
I'm lucky to still be grandfathered in with the, hey, you pay for cable internet, you still get cable TV. Most of the TV I watch is on Netflix.
Okay.
Primarily.
Nice one. Jacob, what are you going to say about the joke?
Well, I thought it was Game of Thrones with people on a toilet.
Hold on, chunk.
Playing games on a toilet.
That's crazy, mate.
King playing the toilet games.
So, Peter, do you remember being on Steve's show a few years ago?
Chatterbox Live.
Do you remember that show?
I still have your I think you sent it to Brad, the little clip.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, he made a shout out to video too.
It somewhere.
He actually, Peter, you actually made a video about the tech buzz.
Yeah, I remember.
The lighting, the lights or something about the lights.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's something about his lighting or something about.
His lighting is going down or is he too dark?
Something like that. Oh, do you remember, Peter? What was it about? Do you remember?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But anyway, something like that anyway. So, yeah, any more questions for Peter, Jennifer?
I guess I'm trying to think of what other questions I have. So you are basically I see you writing a lot with your blog, and you already had a piece published on Mashable. But what exactly do you do? Are you also a consultant for others as well?
Yeah, I do consulting for, I never want to like say, oh, I'm a social media expert. No, what I like to really do is help digital teams work better and help them collaborate in digital environments and then help tell their story to their customers. So I mean, anybody can teach you how to set up a Facebook account, set up a Google Plus page. I mean, the mechanics of that are out there. There's help pages for that. You don't need to pay people for that. I can show you where to find all those things for free. But you know, I really like helping people understand how people communicate with each other. And I think that's something that's important, but you know, all too often misunderstood.
It is very misunderstood.
What I do for a living is totally different. I'm in sales.
Okay. No, I think that's fantastic. And that was something that I noticed in the workplace as well, where there's a lot of people that just, you know, for people like us, it becomes second nature. It's just kind of the way we communicate and we get it. But for a lot of people, they just don't. And they really do need someone to guide them through that process and help them and teach them these emerging technologies, and not even all emerging, just these technologies that are out there to help us collaborate with others and spread our message and communicate, you know. So,
but, you know, you just said it, Jennifer. They're not emerging. They're here. Like everybody
they are here.
Them. You've got to get on the bandwagon because Gen Y is using them. They're taught how to use them from elementary school. And if you don't think your kindergartner knows more about your computer than you do, then you're naive.
Honey, it's true.
You can call it emerging, but it's here.
It's not. It's here. It is. It's here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Get with it.
It's just teaching the people how to do it, and they think it's emerging when it's not, you know, so.
And it's not scary. None of this is scary. It's just.
All right, Jacob, you have a question.
I love change. Change is awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
It is.
It is. It is. Jacob, go ahead. What do you want to say?
Well, I got my computer when I was 4, first computer.
Cool.
You were 4.
Yeah, and I destroyed the computer.
It
was a Packard Bell.
I remember my son, he couldn't even read. I mean, this is like, I think 2 or 3 or whatever. And he knew how to take his little CD-ROM, put it in the computer, you know, find his game on there and play it. And it was, you know, kind of remarkable. And, you know, he didn't read what the name of the game, but he recognized the little icon and wow. See, now he's hacking into the Pentagon. No, I'm just kidding. Not really.
Even, you know, in the womb, they're surrounded by this technology. This is what they're born with and born into. So it's those skills are just inherent in their system when they're born. And that's kind of the way it works. So it's awesome. I wish that I were. I keep on saying over and over, I wish I were either a kid or maybe someone in their early 20s that, you know, has their whole life ahead of them and all this great stuff. And it's,
okay.
Anyway.
Peter, so tell us about Google Plus Suite. You've been on there a few times. How's it been on there for you? Do you enjoy it? I think he's having a drink.
Sorry, who's the question directed towards?
To you. You've been on Google Plus Week. Dan McDermott Show.
Oh,
no. Oh yeah. You know, it's funny. I just text Dan right now. Dan McDermott is a really talented guy. We're not actually related. We share the same last name.
Now, what's the deal with that? What's up with that?
Sorry?
What's the deal with that, with them two surnames? Is anything in relation to that? Or?
No, not that we're aware of. We've traced back a few generations and we can't come up with anything. So I'm sure it's there, you know, maybe way, way, way back. But, you know, he's a great guy. Alan Furstenberg, a huge developer for Google Glass.
Yeah.
A huge developer for Chrome apps, mm-hmm. extensions, you know, just a great developer overall out of New York. And he's a great guy. He's always on there. And he's a great, always has a great counter to anything Dan might be talking about. And, you know, always love to have the opportunity to chat with him when I get the chance.
Good stuff. Are you going to go on there today? Is he nearly finished or is he on there now? Or?
You know, I think they're going on right now. They're probably into their second or third hour now. I'm actually neglecting them tonight to join you on Tech Webcast.
Good. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate that. Any more questions, Jennifer or Steve or Jacob? We're going to need to wrap up.
I had one from earlier.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Well, I was going to ask, but my Skype cut out on me.
Okay, Austin.
It was about the Google Glass. What do you think about that that little part on the back of the glass that literally attached to the back of your head a little bit for the sound?
Yeah, the bone conductivity is okay. You know, it's a great technology in theory. If you're in a really quiet environment, it works well. There's a couple ways in which you can adapt to it. First of all, you can put the earbud in. The second generation of Explorer Edition came with a mono earbud, and that plugs into the micro USB jack. So you can plug that in, use that. But the bone conductivity for sound, if you place your hand and cup it over your ear, or place your finger just over your the hole to your ear canal and kind of seal it just a little bit, you'll be able to hear the sound quite better. However, in a noisy environment, you know, it just it's a novel technology, but it's just that it's novel. It's not so practical yet.
Okay. Nice one. And is it worth the money, Peter? $1,500? What made you get them?
Yeah, like Jennifer said before, if you're a developer, if you work in an industry where you're trying to figure out what a good application for this device might be before it hits the market, or if you're in a business where it's important to understand the device and how your customers are going to be using it, from that angle, yeah. But if you're just a fanboy and a tech head and a geek like me, I would really save your money until there's a consumer version available that's going to save you several hundred dollars.
Yeah, definitely. Now, where can they get hold of you on Twitter and stuff? Are you on Twitter and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Google Plus and LinkedIn. Just Peter
and you're no longer on Facebook anymore. You left Facebook.
Not Facebook anymore, no.
Why is that? What? How come?
You know, so each network kind of handles communication differently. And I feel like Google Plus caters to the interest graph. Twitter caters to what's happening right now. And Facebook just caters to drama. And, you know, the fun thing is, since I'm no longer on Facebook, I find when I'm going to see people that I haven't seen in a while, we have something to talk about. We have things to catch up on. I don't know everything that's happened since I last talked to them because, you know, that's their private life, and I like to be able to catch up with them. Mm. You know, I think Facebook brought this culture on. You know, it's interesting because I was one of, you know, the first several hundred thousand people to use it in university, you know, before it was released to the public. And it made sense. You know, it was just like the yearbook, but it was a Facebook. It was, hey, these are the people that you're going to school with, and here's a social network, an opportunity for you to connect with them. And I think in that closed environment, you know, SAS has a solution for businesses to use internally for social networking. I know Microsoft has a solution for businesses to use internally for social networking. Those are really cool. And the thread that the users have is whatever, you know, educational institution or workplace they have. And they know that that content is limited to that audience and that there's a certain focus with that. And I think Facebook grew before it had any strategy, and they're losing a lot of Gen Y users because it's an okay platform, but the vehicle just doesn't make any sense anymore. Nobody wants to be driving down that path. So, you know, I don't really see any reason to use it. People say, well, you can't market your business if you're not on Facebook. Well, my personal brand just doesn't market there. So,
okay. Fair enough. That's good. Cool. Good stuff, Peter. And thank you for being on, mate. Appreciate your time. Jennifer, what's your final view of this show, and we're going to get hold of you?
I really enjoyed speaking with you tonight, and it was a great show, as always, and Peter, really, really nice talking with you. As far as me, gosh, I really can't speak tonight. I think I'm really tired tonight. I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed after the show. Mm-hmm. And as far as I go, you can contact me at jenniferruggiero.com, and also check out my podcast site, getnerdywithit.com, as well. And on Twitter, jruggiero.
Okay, we also had Sarah on. Do you want to give her information out too, Jennifer?
Is it sarahslocum.com? Gosh, sure. I should know this.
That's her.
Don't know.
I don't know. I got to look it up.
Social media.
Yeah, I love social media, Inc. I love socialmediainc.com.
Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, hey, Scott's playing.
Jennifer, how do you spell your last name for those listeners out there?
It's Jennifer, JRUGGIERO. Cool. On Twitter, JRUGGIERO.
Okay, you can get me on Twitter at Brad
Ozden. Thank you.
You can get me on Twitter at Brad Ozden, Tech Webcast. Jacob Jones, what's your final view of your show? And wrap up, mate.
It was good talking to Peter. I haven't talked to him in ages.
When was the last time you spoke to him?
Last hangout, probably maybe 2013.
Last year, so about a year ago, yeah. Yeah.
And you can follow me at jazzbot226691z and at TechLuster.
Which is no longer around. Steve, what about you?
Actually, I like Peter McDermott's unique perspective on the different social networking sites like Facebook, Google Plus, and Google Glass. You talked about that a little too. You can find me on Twitter, chatterbox_live.
Good stuff, Steve. And Andrew and Jody weren't on today, Jennifer, because Andrew's at some baby thing and Jody went to some dog show thing.
That's right. I'm excited about Andrew and the baby to be and Christy, yeah. His wife. And yeah. So it's exciting. Good stuff.
Yeah, it is. And hopefully he'll be on next week to tell us what happened.
I hope so. Yeah. Okay.
And Jacob, guess what?
You lost a game.
No, you did.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more Tech Talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!